from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
The 3-2. Got him looking! Garrett Crochet strikes out the side. That is ripped down the left field line. A fair ball. One run will come in. Two runs will score. They're waving in the third. And India will score.
One of the reasons why J.R. House, the third base coach, keeps sending everybody is he knows that the Sox have had a hard time on relay throws. Cincinnati takes a 5-0 lead.
Grossman, and the first hit of the ballgame for the White Sox. Robbie Grossman breaks up the no-no. Lopez with the ground ball up the middle. De La Cruz, and that'll do it. It's the Cincinnati Reds with a 5-0 win. They take game two, and they will win this three-game series against the White Sox.
See his breaking ball.
Fly ball deep left off the bat of Suzuki. That ball's back near the wall. Gone! Suzuki put a charge in when I had to wait after that ball that was hit by Dylan Moore in the second inning. But this one was hit much better. Swinging a fly ball to right. If it's fair, it could leave the yard. That ball is going to be a home run. Michael Busch with another home run, and the Cubs lead 3-1. Most of the game. Fly ball deep left field, pretty well hit. Back goes Canzone. It's got a chance. Gone. Home run, Miguel Amaya. Cubs lead 4-1. A hanging breaking ball, and he drilled it.
Good morning, friends. It is Hit and Run on The Score. My name is Chris Ronji. Spiegs is out, so you get me for the next 3 hours. We're going to go till 12 o'clock today, and I hope that you're having a wonderful Sunday. It is good to talk with you. Hopefully we can have some fun together for the next 3 hours. You've got the phone number. As always, you should probably have it plugged into your phone by now. 312-644-6767 is the number that you can text or call me. And by God, I love to hear from you. I love to hear your voice. I haven't heard your voice in a long time, so now is the time for you to get into contact with me. So, heard a bunch of highlights from the games yesterday, and we've got a couple of baseball teams in town. As I know you have been paying attention over the first couple of weeks plus of the season, are on divergent paths. You have your Chicago White Sox, who are, they do not appear to be a playoff team this year, and most likely are not going to be, with just a couple of bright spots on the team so far this year. One of them is the guy who started yesterday, had some difficulty, though he did pitch into the fifth inning, still punched out 10. Garrett Crochet, for the most part, though, has looked really good as a starter for the White Sox. And from everybody I have talked to so far, a lot of my friends who are Sox fans, that's like the one thing they feel good about right now in 2024. Still, it's worth celebrating because that's somebody who could be part of that rotation for the next couple of seasons and hoping they make a competitive team within the next 2 to 3 years. So That's what's going on with them. Meanwhile, here are your Chicago Cubs, who yesterday, last night rather, were able to get the win. A nice game for them in Seattle against a team that's, hey, they're going to be difficult this year. I don't think there's any question about that. A 4-1 win against the Mariners in Seattle, so they've so far split the series. They took the loss on Friday. They've got the opportunity this afternoon, and we have a 3:10 first pitch. That's going to happen in Seattle today, so they'll have an opportunity to win this series with Assad pitching today. But yesterday, there have been a number of things for the Cubs so far this year to at least be excited about. I don't know if the Cubs are going to win the division. I think they're set up nicely to do it. This is not a particularly, I wouldn't say it's a strong division, though there are a lot of competitive teams in it, but you don't really have any juggernauts. So what you do have is an opportunity to win the division this year, and a lot of people think, and I'm one of them, they're set up nicely to do that. So they've had a number of aspects of the team that have been really fun to watch so far. You've talked about the offense for the first couple of weeks of the season, and it has been one of the better offenses in baseball, flirting with the top 10 in some areas, top 5 in some other aspects. They are getting on base at a pretty good clip. They are slugging. The batting average isn't the highest. They're kind of right a little bit above average, but still pretty good in Major League Baseball. This is a team that has been able to score runs. But what Shota Imanaga has done so far, now, I think if you really want to break down some of the numbers, if you look at the ground ball rate and the fly ball rate, and he hasn't allowed a home run yet this year, hasn't allowed an earned run all season, some of that appears to be unsustainable. Some of it appears to be flirting a little bit with disaster, but you cannot argue with the results so far. He's been really good. Up until last night, had not issued a walk, and then he did it in back-to-back fashion, and then did allow a run in the game last night, but it was not charged to him because there was an error in the inning. So still, all season long, Imanaga, and I say all season long as if we're talking about 3 months here, but in the first couple of weeks of the season, he's been really good. He really has been a tremendous pickup for the Cubs so far. And will that continue for the rest of the year? That is the conversation I think people are going to have. Well, clearly he's going to give up some runs. Clearly he's going to give up some earned runs. They will be charged to him. Eventually that's going to happen. And as I said, there are some aspects of his game that are flirting a little bit with danger. But for the most part, he's been really good. You cannot argue with what the results have been so far. So for him, a 0 ERA. Last night, 5 1/3 innings, he gives up 5 hits. He did issue those 2 walks, as I mentioned, and 4 strikeouts. So as we look at the Cubs and what they've done so far in the early part of the year, they've hit the baseball. They have had some struggles pitching-wise, if you've been paying attention. This is not anything new to you. You are fully aware of that. But there have been some things that you can be excited about or at least comfortable with. And so far with Imanaga, really liked what we've seen from him up until this point. Now, there is some good news, it appears, in terms of getting some guys back. Justin Steele did throw a bullpen yesterday. They think he's got a way to go still, and that's coming from Craig Counsell, but they believe they're making progress with him, so I'm not exactly sure when he's going to be back. And look, the Cubs have done what they've done so far without him, really being a part of the mix. They're 8-6 on the season, and of course he doesn't play every day. But the fact that they can stay above 500 in this early part of the year with the injuries they've had to deal with, hey, not bad. Not bad. You'll take that. Jameson Taillon did have a rehab start for AAA. That was 2 days ago. So it looks like he's going to join the team when they play in Arizona. And then they say they're going to figure out what's going to happen with him next. But it does appear that Jameson Taillon's next start is going to be on the big league club. So That is very good. So the Cubs are going to get some pitching back. We'll see what happens, but this is a division that is there for them to take. It's there. It is right there for them to take. And as you know, my primary job is with the Cardinals, the flagship station in St. Louis.
Boo,
that's what I do. Yeah,
Cardinals.
I know. You can boo me. That's fine. But listen, I've watched them. I see what they're doing every day, and they're flawed. I think they're a decent team with potential to be an above 500 team at the end of the year, but they are a flawed team. And so just looking at the division, a good young Reds team that struggled in pitching last season, but an exciting lineup that's there. I don't really believe in what the Pirates have done in the early part of the season. I could be proven wrong there. I just don't think long term it's there. But this division really is up for grabs, and probably 2 to 3 teams have a real opportunity to win the thing. And I guess you could even make the argument that 4 teams have it if you want to throw the Brewers in there. You can if you want. And that's a team that every single year I feel like I say, don't worry about the Brewers. And then right at the end of the year, they're kind of there. They're either in the mix or they are winning the division. You know, they do it every single season. So I have a tough time discounting them completely, but I'm not as worried about them as I would have been, I don't know, probably a season or two ago. But you got to keep your eye on them. I think that's really where we are with this National League Central. How about the American League Central, by the way? How about the Kansas City Royals? Has anybody been paying attention to what the Royals are doing? By the way, it's the White Sox next opponent. You will be surprised. If you had just woken up, if you had been sleeping for 2 months, if you'd been in a hospital in an induced coma, and you just woke up, you would be stunned to find out that the Kansas City Royals have 10 wins. They have won 8 of their last 10 games. They are 10-5, and they are in first place in the American League Central.
Does this make the White Sox look really smart, though, Chris? Is that? I mean, they're trying to be the Royals.
Well, okay.
We can circle back on that if you like.
Yeah, Hey, Sean Sears, let me get back to you on that.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Okay.
Let's talk about that in 3 months.
Right.
But look, and this is not okay. This happens, right? Wasn't it 2000? I want to say it was either 2003 or maybe 2007 or something like that. And what a good host would have done is look this up. But I believe the Royals got off to a really good start. And I remember Ozzy at the time saying, hey, you know, watch out for Kansas City because they could be dangerous. And then they got off to a really good start. It was something like 2 or 3 months of the year. They were playing pretty well. And then it just completely fell apart for them. That's probably what's going to happen with them. But also, that division isn't great either. And I know we do this every year with the Central divisions. We always say they're not that good because usually they aren't. But Kansas City, what they've done up until now, I know it's only 15 games, but I'm kind of surprised. I didn't think it would go like this. I don't want to tell you what the White Sox number is, what their record is. I really would strongly advise against you looking it up. Sean, should I tell? I'm not going to. Nope. You know what? I'm not going to tell people.
It's too early. Let's not.
Also,
Kansas City Royals in 2003 started 17-4, like you were talking about.
Okay, so it was 03. And then I forgot where they finished.
I think it was like 58 wins. Let me double check here.
Oh, yeah, see? Okay. See? You know what? Sometimes I do know stuff.
Oh, see, I took it back. I take it back. They finished above 500, 83-79.
Well, they did. Okay. Well,
still,
look at me.
Finished third, but yeah, I mean, they were on.
But
like
a 17-4 start, that's incredible. And then you end up just barely above 500? Eh. That means you played pretty lousy ball the remainder of the year.
They did, yeah. They played essentially below 500 ball after that.
Okay. Anyway, hey, good for me. I really did it, didn't I?
Hey, you were a part of all those things, right? You did some stuff with the White Sox, right?
No, well, that was I started a couple of years later.
Oh,
of course, they win a World Series. They win a World Series, and then they invite me on board.
Yeah, they got to get the championship, and then they bring Chris on.
I got there for the good years. No, 2006 was a great year. That was a lot of fun. They didn't go to the playoffs, but they won 90 games.
This is a good team.
That was fun. The 08 team was like playoff team. The only playoff I experienced in the decade I did that job. But they did. They were a lot of fun, and it was one of the, they just barely squeaked in. Everybody knows about Game 163, which was one of the most exciting games I've ever been to, and the most nerve-wracking by far. But they just haven't. I don't know. That was one of those teams that they needed every little bit, like everything had to work, especially at the end of the year, just for them to even get into the playoffs. It was still a fun year overall, but I think everybody else knows the history of the last 10 to 15 years with that team. And right now, I would argue that it is, look, this team is literally on pace to be one of the worst White Sox teams they've ever had. This 2024 season, they are literally on pace for that. Again, it's a couple of weeks worth of games. This doesn't mean that they're going to end up being this bad, but dude, they've played 14 games. Sean, for those who have not looked it up, should I tell them how many wins they have out of those 14? Should I tell the people?
Yeah, let's go ahead and burst that bubble.
Two. They have won two games. Now.
That seems bad.
It's very bad. Now, look, it can happen to teams through the course of the year that you have a two-week stretch and you only win a couple of games. Sure, that can happen. The good teams usually don't do that, but it can happen. It looks especially bad when it's the beginning of the season. So they are currently on pace to be one of the worst Sox teams they've ever had. And actually, they could very well be one of the worst teams in the history of the game if it continues on a pace like this. I think people have probably been referencing that Cleveland Spiders team from the 1800s that was the worst team ever. Now, I don't think they're going to be that, but they're not. There's not a whole lot to look forward to with them. So this is your opportunity today, by the way. If you want to tell me what you are looking forward to. And look, I've mentioned Garrett Crochet, despite the 5-run game yesterday. He's been really good. And for me, kind of a nice surprise, because when they announced he was going to be the starter, I thought, oh, okay, here we go. But it's turned out really good for the most part for the first few starts. He's been surprising and he's getting a lot of punch outs, which is, that's great. That is a huge accomplishment, because that usually translates if you can pitch for a full season and you can stay healthy and you can give them a lot of innings, that's going to end up result in a lot of victories. It's going to end up with a lot of really good results and stat lines at the end of games. So if he can keep up the strikeout rate, fantastic. But other than that, there isn't a lot. And maybe you can set me straight. Maybe you can tell me there is. Maybe you can tell me that there is a lot to look forward to, and I'm just not seeing it right now. 312-644-6767. Meanwhile, for my Cubs fans who are listening to this show, you must be thrilled with the way this is going. You have to be, especially with the injuries, especially knowing guys like Cody Bellinger have not yet really produced all that much offensively, and the team is still hitting, the team is still scoring runs, the team looks to be a pretty good offense with some pitching issues that need to be cleaned up. How are you feeling about your club? 312-644-6767. You can also text the number, and you can send me a message if you want to do it that way. I am on Twitter at Chris Ranji. Coming up on the show today, we've got some people that we're going to talk to. We will have Chuck Garfine joining us at 9:40. Mike Farron from MLB Network Radio is going to be with us. Lance Brozdowski with Marquee Sports. He is going to join the show. We got a lot coming up. I want to talk about the Shohei Ohtani situation. If we have some time, I want to talk a little bit about that potential new ballpark on the south side as well. You've got the number, 312-644-6767. Chris Ranji filling in. It's Hit and Run on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ranji on the Score.
Imanaga has made 2 starts. He has been incredibly good. The 3-2 pitch on the way. That's strike 3 called. Ty France is out on strikes. And the pitch by Imanaga, swing and a miss. Good high fastball, and that's out number 1. Now the 1-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Got him with a high fastball.
Center field, Bellinger is there, and Cody makes the grab, and the Mariners leave a couple, and a 3-2. Foul tipped into the mitt of Amaya, struck him out. 1-2, on the ground to third. Oh, nice play, Morrell gets up and throws him out. Great play, Christopher.
That's it for Shota Imanaga.
5 1/3, 1 run, it was unearned.
Think of Swingers when I hear this song. I wonder if I'm the only one. Sean Sears has probably not ever seen it because he's 15 years old. It
I
is hit
Swingers
and run.
Is.
You've seen it?
I have, yeah. Jon Favreau, man. It's like his debut movie, right?
Okay. All right, I'm just making sure. Because, you know, what are you, 11?
I'll turn 16 tomorrow.
16, wow. I wonder how you've been getting to work. So,
public transit's great here, Chris. You should know.
That's right. That's right, public transportation.
Great's in quotes, but yeah. Go ahead with your baseball thoughts, though. We can talk
where
about
I live, we have. Listen, where I live, we have one train, and it goes east to west, and that's it. That is it. There are no other directions. We just have 2. So I am Chris with you on Hit and Run. Chuck Garfine's going to join us at 9:40. We'll talk a little White Sox with him. Imanaga, as I mentioned earlier, the results have been good. He has not walked anybody. Well, up until yesterday, and then he issued back-to-back walks. But prior to that, he had not done it all year, which is, I mean, it's incredible control. If you want to nitpick, and you want to identify things that could potentially become problems, and I wouldn't even say they'll become big problems. They're just things to keep an eye on. I think the fly ball rate is a little high. I'm a little concerned about the ground ball rate. I don't know if he can keep that up, because a lot of contact he is giving up ends up on the ground, and it could just be a thing that's his style, and that's how it's always going to be with him. But I would just keep an eye on numbers like that. But for the most part, I think he's going to be all right. I don't expect him to be a 0 ERA guy. That's not really doable. But as far as everything else goes, I think he's going to be okay. And these are just sort of minor things, little peripherals to keep an eye on, not anything to be alarmed about. You cannot be upset about what he's done so far. Did give up a run last night, wasn't charged to him, wasn't his fault. There was a ball that was dropped at first base. It ended up leading to a longer inning than the Cubs would have liked, but ultimately he did his job. Cubs get the win last night. Let's take some phone calls, as I promised you earlier, 312-644-6767. In South Bend, Mark is with us on the Score. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Chris. It's great to chime in with you. It's been a while when you used to do Sox pregame and postgame. The question on the White Sox is this: the injuries, the pathetic start. Now, my question is, in the trades they made last year, they acquired Ty Bush, a left-handed prospect from the Angels, and they also acquired a top left-handed prospect from Miami in the Jake Berger trade. I was wondering how close they are, and what about bringing up Colson Montgomery to play, and now third base is open. And Darren Crochet is pitching good. He's already had four turns out in 14 games. At that rate, his arm's going to be wore out by June.
Well, I am a little concerned with his workload for the year. I don't know how they're going to get to, if they're even going to try to get to like 150-plus innings. I don't see how that's really possible with him, considering he came straight from the bullpen and now he's starting, and he was the opening day guy. This just doesn't... It doesn't really happen like that very often. So, yeah, I'm concerned about his workload. I imagine they will be careful with him. I imagine their intent is to keep him and not trade him ahead of the deadline, because he's still under control for a little bit of time. And if they have any intentions on being good or competitive over the next couple of seasons, I think you want him to be part of that. That's first. Secondly, as far as Montgomery goes, he shouldn't be here until he is ready. And I mean ready. And the reason I say that is, this is, you could look at this two ways. You could say this is a lost season, so you might as well just bring him up, let him get some experience playing for this team, and then he'll have that under his belt. Which is good to have that experience and to get things rolling so that he is ready quicker to be productive and part of the everyday lineup. That's a perfectly fine philosophy. But the other side of it is, because they're not very good and aren't going to be good at the end of the year, why would you bother wasting that year with him? Unless he is just absolutely proving that there's nothing left for him to accomplish in the minor leagues. Unless they have gotten to that point. And I don't think we're there yet, Mark. So I appreciate the phone call, but in terms of prospects in general with the White Sox, I'm not calling up anybody they think is a long-term solution for them. I'm not calling up any of those guys until they are just proving that there's nothing left for them to do at the minor leagues and it's a waste of time for them to be there, just because of the state the team is in. And furthermore, if you're looking for something, if the Sox are desperate to have something on the roster that's watchable or to help them or to save them in a way, this team should absolutely not put any young player in that position. They're just not good enough for that. They're just not. The only benefit, as I mentioned earlier, to calling up somebody like that, Montgomery or Bush or whoever, is to get major league experience. But I don't know if it does this team any good. And to be perfectly frank with you, I don't know if it's necessarily good for the player to do that either. So I think it's a while before you see some of those guys, unless injuries and their performance at the minor leagues leaves them no choice. Let's talk to Gator Dale, who is in Chicago and with us. Good morning, Dale.
Hey, Ranger.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, Ranger? I'm here. Hey, real quick, you know, since Jerry's really cheap and everything like that, why don't they take a chance on Trevor Bauer? Now, hear me out. You give him the league minimum. If something pops up, you can get rid of him. At least you get a possibility of a win every 5 days.
What's the point? If this were, first of all, I don't think a lot of players like Trevor Bauer.
Oh, no!
And that is one thing that you have to keep in mind, and thank you, Dale. I'm not even sure there's really a good place for him to go. Because if you're a winning team and things look really good, your roster is performing, and you just wish you had that extra arm in the rotation, I don't even know that I would bring him in and potentially upset the mix you have. Just because people don't like him. And it's not the same. Look, not every teammate is going to get along. That's going to happen. There are going to be guys in a clubhouse that just don't fit well. And you can still have a winning mix that way. I just don't know that the reward for a good or a bad team is worth the potential cost of signing him. And I don't mean money. I just mean bringing that guy in. And forget about all the legal stuff, all the sexual assault allegations, which is a thing to consider. But I know people say, well, he wasn't found guilty of any of that stuff. And that's true. But do you want that around? I don't know what benefit for the team is there.
No.
Joe in Mount Greenwood. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We are great.
Listen, I've been a Sox fan for 60 years.
60 years?
I used to go to Sunday doubleheaders, and I seen a no-hitter when I was a kid, Joe Horland. Now, we didn't have many hitters back in the day, but we had guys that could play ball, they could catch. And we had a guy named Ken Berry that played center field. This guy couldn't hit, but I'm telling you, he used to jump over that fence, and I'm not lying because I've seen him do it many times, and catch the ball in midair. That's how good he was on defense. Now, this is the worst team that I've ever seen. We stink. I mean, we maybe got three players on the team, and they don't even play Sheets, who can hit the ball. I mean, let the guy play, for crying out loud.
Joe? I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, this team does stinks. That's no question. Appreciate it. We'll get to more of your calls, I promise. 312-644-6767. When we come back, however, we're going to talk to my guy, Chuck Garfine. He will join us next here on The Score.
With stinks.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
We are 2 weeks into the season. This is the worst offense I've seen in my life.
Whoa.
This is the worst offense I've seen in my life. I hope they can get better. But 2 weeks into the season, this is the worst offense I've ever seen on the White Sox on the south side of my life.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Chris Ronji, filling in for Matt Spiegel today. He is out for Hit and Run. I think I might be back next week, too.
You are back next week, yes.
Yes, back at 9 o'clock next week. We're doing it again. So we are leading you up to CBS Sports coverage, and then at 2:35 today, it is the Cubs. They will finish up their series in Seattle against the Mariners. It is time to go to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And we welcome in hosts of NBC Sports Chicago White Sox coverage and the White Sox Talk podcast. He's on Twitter at Chuck Garfine. It is Chuck Garfine. He is with us on the Score. Good morning, Chuck.
Is this Chris Ronji, the actual real Chris Ronji on the other end of my line? I cannot believe it. It has been way too long. Welcome back to Chicago. I know you haven't really left, but in the way you have left, you're in St. Louis. You're from here. I miss you, Chris. It's good talking
Dude,
White Sox baseball with you.
Do you really miss talking White Sox baseball with me or anybody right now?
No. I mean, well, I'll be talking White Sox baseball on the air in 3 hours, so I guess I'm never... I haven't stopped talking White Sox baseball, so I can't say I miss it, but I miss talking about it with you.
So this is interesting. I loved that we got a chance to talk Sox baseball for, hell, 10 years. We're constantly talking about the team, doing shows together. But, Chuck, you said it in that clip, talking with Ozzy, that this is the worst offense you've ever seen. And I think certainly for the White Sox, it is. And we have a texter who earlier said, you know, they've been shut out already in these 14 games five times. That's incredible. Five times already. And we're hardly into the season. We're just 2 weeks into it. I don't know that you're wrong, man. And I know they have injuries. Moncada injured, Eloy injured. But, dude, it shouldn't be this bad, should it?
I mean, for me to start a show by saying that, and actually, as I listened back to you running it, oh, my God, I said that three times. I meant it because it's true, all right? So the worst offense the White Sox have ever had, I believe, I mean, certainly the last 50 or 60 years is 1968, and we've been comparing this year's team to that year's team offensively. And so I was not born in 1968, so I was thinking about that as we went on the air. I mean, they have 30 runs in 14 games. Yes, they've been shut out five times. They've scored one run or less eight times. Eight of their 15 games, okay? So, or 14 games. So I try to be as real and honest as I can, and I'm like, that was the thing that stood out for me. They got one run on Saturday, no runs on Sunday. And I know they've got Aloy out, Robert and Moncada, and I mean those are your 2, 3, 4 hitters in your lineup. You take the 2, 3, 4 hitters out of your lineup, most teams are going to really struggle. Unfortunately, the guys, other guys, have not picked up the slack, other than maybe Gavin Sheets, who's actually off to a great start. That's where we're at, and so it is the worst for 2 weeks of a season. This is the worst offense I've seen on the White Sox ever.
So you lose the heart of your order. That's clearly that would hurt a lot of teams. But does it not seem like this team is less equipped to handle losing a huge presence in the lineup, whether it's one or three guys? I know three is a lot, but still, it just seems like this roster is not in good position to handle any injuries, let alone three.
Right. I mean, my X factors for this whole season offensively was Moncada and Eloy, because, I mean, I had a feeling that Robert, after the year he had, okay, maybe he can do something like that again. But for this offense really to be, you know, average, like you want them in the middle of the pack, they needed big seasons from Eloy and Moncada, and it's been a mixed bag with them, either when they're on the field or if they can stay healthy. And now they're both hurt. Maybe Eloy is back later this week, but Moncada, you're talking the All-Star break, Robert sometime in May. It's going to be 6 weeks. That's what the latest is with him. But you're right. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers here. I mean, it is not pretty. And I never, never want to define a team, define a player, define a season in April. I usually wait until like around June, but the numbers are so glaringly bad. And you know, we were talking about how last year they were last in the majors in walks. And that walks is a big thing for me. That tells me a lot about the plate discipline of a team and what it's capable of doing. And they were middle of the pack in spring training. And I was thinking, okay, we're going to see that translate to the regular season. And here we are. We're 2 weeks into the season, and they're last in walks again. So I'm really hoping they get out of it. I mean, is Andrew Benintendi a 140 hitter? No. Is Andrew Vaughn a 180 hitter? No. Nicky Lopez, 156. Paul DeJong, 167. Martin Maldonado, 069. Robbie Grossman has given you good play discipline off the top of the lineup with his walks. But there's just a lot of guys who are not just under what we're expecting. They're way under, which is why they have been shut out five times. And I'm calling them the worst offense I've ever seen with the White Sox. I really hope they turn it around.
You know, visiting with Chuck Garfine here on The Score, I don't know how often you are able to get into the clubhouse. I know the job's a little bit different now, but if you have been able to, or just from people that you have spoken to, what's it like down there? What's it like over the last couple of seasons? You have a lot of the same guys around. Some are gone now. Dylan Cease, of course, he's no longer part of the team. But there's still a lot of holdover from the last couple of seasons. What is the environment like? What is the atmosphere like in a clubhouse that has gone from, you know, 3 years ago being the talk of baseball, this young up-and-coming team, to now winning two out of their first 14?
Okay, so I was at spring training the whole time, so I got a real good feel for the clubhouse coming into the regular season, and they were, you know, about as united as you can be for a large bunch of players, specifically the position players, because those are the guys that take the field every day. I'm very hyper-focused on that. And for a team that had never played together, they were a very united, they are high character guys, and I felt like they would do whatever it takes to, you know, whatever they can do as a team to bring home a win, assuming they aren't off to the worst start offensively in the last 55 years. I was there on Friday, and I did not feel like the, you know, sky was falling. They were not obviously happy with the way things had started. But to compare this year's team to last year's team started 7-21, and, you know, it was, they did not have a foundation in that clubhouse that could keep things together. And pretty soon, things really started to fray. People wanted to be traded, not everybody, but some people wanted to be traded, and they were. And they ended up losing 101 games. This team now, I'm again 2 weeks into the season, I think they have, and they have more of a, they have a stronger foundation to, but you know, than last year's team. But they're also just, the seeds just got planted. Like, you're talking Maldonado's new, Lopez new, DeJong new, Grossman new, Kevin Pillar new. There's a lot of like new guys that are trying to keep this thing together. And when no one other than basically Gavin Sheets is hitting, it's tough for you to like throw your weight around the clubhouse and say, "Hey guys, this is what we need to do." When you're not carrying your share of the load. So to answer your question, I'm not sure. You know, we're in this moment of time where it looks like this and feels like the sky is falling. They need to start getting this offense turned around, getting wins together, and then they can start trying to rebuild what they were trying to build in spring training. But when you're, you know, 2-12, you know, this whole roster is being tested in many ways because of how bad things have started for the team.
There are a couple of bright spots here. One of them is Gavin Sheets, who, you know, we had a texter earlier who said, "Why just play him every day? Why is he not playing every single day?" Do you agree with the way he's being handled?
Yeah, so we talked a lot about this the last couple of days. So Sheets is their best hitter by far on the team. He had 5 RBIs in the last game in Cleveland. They come home, there's a lefty on the mound. He's a lefty, and he's got a 125 batting average in his career against lefties. And this year against Southpaws, he was 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts. So they decided, you know what, I know he's our hottest hitter. They decided to put him on the bench and maybe bring him up as a pinch hitter later in the game. Well, they lost 11-1. He didn't play. So then Saturday, he does start against a lefty, and he had 2 great at-bats that should have led to 2 hits, but he was robbed both times. That's showing the progression to me of Gavin Sheets as a hitter, specifically against left-handers. So I'm starting him every day from here on out because he's that good. When Jimenez comes back, all right, so that's going to be an interesting situation. If Gavin's still hot, then does that mean he goes to first base and Andrew Vaughn is on the bench? I mean, this is, I guess, a good problem to have. But Sheets has been really good. I talked to him in spring training, and he said this is the best he has felt professionally at the plate in his career because of the changes he made. He did not like how he played last year. He looked himself in the mirror and said, "I have to make changes. I have to make changes," and he made them. And now we're seeing the results of that, and it's been great.
And Garrett Crochet has been really good again. You know, his last start gave up 5 runs, but he struck out 10. But as a starter, it's been pretty successful so far. How many innings do you suspect ultimately he gets, and how long does he keep this up?
Yeah, I don't know any. I don't know if anybody knows. How could anybody know? I mean, I'm sure they have a plan in place, but you don't know. They don't know. I don't think Garrett Crochet even knows how many innings are in his body, considering he'd only thrown, I think it's 24 major league and minor league innings the previous 2 years combined. He's holding up quite well so far. His velocity was dipping in his last inning yesterday, but I think, as Chris Getz said, they're just going to kind of let him go early on and see how he's doing, and they're monitoring him. And, you know, he's not going to throw 180 innings. At some point, they're going to have to do something to limit his innings. How they go about doing that, I don't have the answer for it, but it's a kind of a trial and error mode that they're in, and he's so far has been one of the best pitchers in baseball, and it's been a revelation. It's been great to see.
Chuck Garfine, it was great to talk baseball with you again. We should do this more often.
I'd love to do it. I want to give some White Sox fans hope, and I know we had a rebuild that happened, and we were focusing so much on the minor leagues and not everyone panned out, but to give you a little bit of a hope for the future, the White Sox actually have, I'm just going to say this, they've had a very, very good couple of days in the minor leagues with all the guys that you want to be playing well. Post Montgomery, homer the last 2 days. Edgar Caro has 3 home runs the last 2 days. Noah Schultz was struggling, and then he struck out 6 guys in a row. Drew Thorpe, who they got in the Steve's trade, looks amazing. So there's some good stuff happening in the minor leagues. I'm not saying up and down, every team is incredible, but a good future core might be developed right now. But what's going on in the major league team, if you are a White Sox fan and you're frustrated, you have every right to be, because it's unacceptable. They're 2-12, and it's been a tough watch. I really hope they turn things around, because I know the guys in that clubhouse want to be better. They need to be better. But it's been a rough watch, and hopefully it turns around today.
I hate to say that I enjoy it, but Chuck, sometimes when I'm able to catch you after a bad day, the sorrow, the exasperation in your voice is, man, I feel it, and I have to tell you, there's something comforting about it. I'm sorry you have to be the one now to, you know, to be the avatar for pain, but I am glad it's you, and I enjoy it, and I'm just, you'll be okay, pal.
Oh, I will be okay. Last couple of years, they called me Salty Chuck. There's a new nickname for me now. It's Grumpy Chuck. I'm Grumpy.
Oh, Grumpy Chuck. But, I love it.
Yeah. So I've turned into Grumpy Chuck. But come on, White Sox. I want to be happy again. Let's turn this around. So, all right. Chris, I appreciate it. And Ozzy and I will be back on the air today.
Tell Ozzy I said hello, my guy.
I will, for sure.
See you, Chuck.
Great talking to you, Chris. Miss you.
Miss you too, buddy. That's Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago. You can hear him on the White Sox Talk Pod. You'll see him with our guy, Ozzy Guillen, on White Sox coverage on NBC Sports Chicago. Our next guest, Mike Farron, is with MLB Network Radio. We'll talk some baseball around the country kind of news. And I'm going to get his thoughts on Shohei Ohtani as well and that entire situation. Mike Farron joins us when we come back. Chris Ranji filling in on Hit and Run on the Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hi, Chuck Garfine. He will join us next. here on The Score.
With stinks.
We're back with more Hit and Run with host Chris Ronji on The Score.
We are 2 weeks into the season. This is the worst offense I've seen in my life.
Whoa.
This is the worst offense I've seen in my life. I hope they can get better. But 2 weeks into the season, this is the worst offense I've ever seen on the White Sox on the south side of my life.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Chris Ronji, filling in for Matt Spiegel today. He is out for Hit and Run. I think I might be back next week, too.
You are back next week, yes.
Yes, back at 9 o'clock next week. We're doing it again. So we are leading you up to CBS Sports coverage, and then at 2:35 today, it is the Cubs. They will finish up their series in Seattle against the Mariners. It is time to go to the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And we welcome in hosts of NBC Sports Chicago White Sox coverage and the White Sox Talk podcast. He's on Twitter at Chuck Garfine. It is Chuck Garfine. He is with us on the Score. Good morning, Chuck.
Is this Chris Ronji, the actual real Chris Ronji on the other end of my line? I cannot believe it. It's been way too long. Welcome back to Chicago. I know you haven't really left, but in a way you have left. You're in St. Louis. You're from here. I miss you, Chris. It's good talking
Dude.
White Sox baseball with you.
Do you really miss talking White Sox baseball with me or anybody right now?
No. I mean, well, I'll be talking White Sox baseball on the air in 3 hours, so I haven't stopped talking White Sox baseball, so I can't say I miss it, but I miss talking about it with you.
So this is interesting. I loved we got a chance to talk Sox baseball for 10 years. We're constantly talking about the team, doing shows together. But Chuck, you said it in that clip, talking with Ozzie, that this is the worst offense you've ever seen. And I think certainly for the White Sox, it is. And we have a texter who earlier said, you know, they've been shut out already in these 14 games 5 times. That's incredible. 5 times already. And we're hardly into the season. We're just 2 weeks into it. I don't know that you're wrong, man. And I know they have injuries. Moncada injured, Eloy injured. But, dude, it shouldn't be this bad, should it?
I mean, for me to start a show by saying that, and actually as I listened back to you running it, oh, my God, I said that 3 times. I meant it because it's true, all right? So the worst offense the White Sox have ever had, I believe, I mean, certainly the last 50 or 60 years is 1968, and we've been comparing this year's team to that year's team offensively. And so I was not born in 1968, so I was thinking about that as we went on the air. I mean, they have 30 runs in 14 games. Yes, they've been shut out 5 times. They've scored 1 run or less 8 times. 8 of their 15 games, okay? So, or 14 games. So I try to be as real and honest as I can, and I'm like, that was the thing that stood out for me. They got 1 run on Saturday, no runs on Sunday. And I know they've got Eloy out, Robert and Moncada. And I mean, those are your 2, 3, 4 hitters in your lineup. You take the 2, 3, 4 hitters out of your lineup, most teams are going to really struggle. Unfortunately, other guys have not picked up the slack other than maybe Gavin Sheets, who's actually off to a great start. That's where we're at. And so it is the worst for 2 weeks of a season. This is the worst offense I've seen on the White Sox ever.
So you lose the heart of your order. That's clearly that would hurt a lot of teams. But does it not seem like this team is less equipped to handle losing a huge presence in the lineup, whether it's 1 or 3 guys? I know 3 is a lot, but still, it just seems like this roster is not in good position to handle any injuries, let alone 3.
Right. I mean, my X factors for this whole season offensively was Moncada and Eloy because, I mean, I had a feeling that Robert, after the year he had, okay, maybe he can do something like that again. But for this offense really to be you know, average. Like, you want them in the middle of the pack. They needed big seasons from Aloy and Moncada, and we've kind of – it's been a mixed bag with them, either when they're on the field or if they can stay healthy. And now they're both hurt. Maybe Aloy is back later this week, but Moncada, you're talking the All-Star break, Robert sometime in May. It's going to be 6 weeks. That's what the latest is with him. But you're right. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers here. I mean, it is not pretty. And I never, never want to define a team, define a player, define a season in April. I usually wait until like around June. But the numbers are so glaringly bad. And, you know, we were talking about how last year they were last in the majors in walks. And that walks is a big thing for me. That tells me a lot about the plate discipline of a team and what it's capable of doing. And they were middle of the pack in spring training. And I was thinking, okay, we're going to see that translate to the regular season. And here we are. We're 2 weeks into the season, and they're last in walks again. So I'm really hoping they get out of it. I mean, is Andrew Benintendi a 140 hitter? No. Is Andrew Vaughn a 180 hitter? No. Nicky Lopez, 156. Paul DeJong, 167. Martin Maldonado, 069. Robbie Grossman has given you good plate discipline off the top of the lineup with his walks. But there's just a lot of guys who are not just under what we're expecting. They're way under, which is why they have been shut out five times. And I'm calling them the worst offense I've ever seen with the White Sox. I really hope they turn it around.
You know, visiting with Chuck Garfine here on The Score, I don't know how often you are able to get into the clubhouse. I know the job's a little bit different now, but if you have been able to, or just from people that you have spoken to, what's it like down there? What's it like over the last couple of seasons? You have a lot of the same guys around. Some are gone now. Dylan Cease, of course, he's no longer part of the team, but there's still a lot of holdover from the last couple of seasons. What is the environment like? What is the atmosphere like in a clubhouse that has gone from, you know, 3 years ago being the talk of baseball, this young up-and-coming team, to now winning two out of their first 14?
Okay, so I was at spring training the whole time, so I had a real good feel for the clubhouse coming into the regular season, and they were, you know, about as united as you can be for a large bunch of players, specifically the position players, because those are the guys that take the field every day. I'm very hyper-focused on that. And for a team that had never played together, they were a very united – they are high-character guys, and I felt like they would – do whatever it takes to, you know, whatever they can do as a team to bring home a win, assuming they aren't off to the worst start offensively in the last 55 years. I was there on Friday, and I did not feel like the, you know, sky was falling. They were not obviously happy with the way things had started. But to compare this year's team to last year's team started 7-21, and you know, it was, they did not have a foundation in that clubhouse that could keep things together. And pretty soon, things really started to fray. People wanted to be traded. Not everybody, but some people wanted to be traded, and they were. And they ended up losing 101 games. This team now, I'm, again, 2 weeks into the season, I think they have, and they have more of a, they have a stronger foundation to than last year's team, but they're also just, the seeds just got planted. Like, you're talking Maldonado's new, Lopez new, DeJong new, Grossman new, Kevin Pillar new. There's a lot of, like, new guys that are trying to keep this thing together. And when no one other than basically Gavin Sheets is hitting, it's tough for you to, like, throw your weight around the clubhouse and say, hey, guys, this is what we need to do, when you're not carrying your share of the load. So to answer your question, I'm not sure. You know, we're in this moment of time where it looks like this and feels like the sky is falling. They need to start getting this offense turned around, getting wins together, and then they can start trying to rebuild what they were trying to build in spring training. But when you're, you know, 2-12, you know, this whole roster is being tested in many ways because of how bad things have started for the team.
There are a couple of bright spots here. One of them is Gavin Sheets, who, you know, we had a texter earlier who said, why just play him every day? Why is he not playing every single day? Do you agree with the way he's being handled?
Yeah, so we talk a lot about this the last couple of days. So Sheets is their best hitter by far on the team. He had five RBIs in the last game in Cleveland. They come home, there's a lefty on the mound. He's a lefty, and he's got a 125 batting average in his career against lefties. And this year against southpaws, he was 0-for-2 with two strikeouts. So they decided, you know what? I know he's our hottest hitter. They decided to put him on the bench and maybe bring him up as a pinch hitter later in the game. Well, they lost 11-1. He didn't play. So then Saturday, he does start against a lefty, and he had two great at bats that should have led to two hits, but he was robbed both times. That's showing the progression to me of Gavin Sheets as a hitter, specifically against left-handers. So I'm starting him every day from here on out because he's that good. When look, Jimenez comes back, all right, so that's going to be an interesting situation. If Gavin's still hot, then does that mean he goes to first base and Andrew Vaughn is on the bench? I mean, this is, I guess, a good problem to have, but Sheets has been really good. I talked to him in spring training, and he said this is the best he has felt professionally at the plate in his career because of the changes he made. He did not like how he played last year. He looked himself in the mirror and said, I have to make changes, and he made them. And now we're seeing the results of that, and it's been great.
And Garrett Crochet has been really good again. You know, his last start gave up 5 runs, but he struck out 10. But as a starter, it's been pretty successful so far. How many innings do you suspect ultimately he gets, and how long does he keep this up?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. How could anybody know? I mean, I'm sure they have a plan in place, but you don't know. They don't know. I don't think Garrett Crochet even knows how many innings are in his body, considering he'd only thrown, I think it's 24 major league and minor league innings the previous 2 years combined. He's holding up quite well so far. His velocity was dipping in his last inning yesterday, but I think, as Chris Getz said, they're just going to kind of let him go early on and see how he's doing, and they're monitoring him. And, you know, he's not going to throw 180 innings. At some point, they're going to have to do something to limit his innings. How they go about doing that, I don't have the answer for it, but it's kind of a trial and error mode that they're in, and he's so far has been one of the best pitchers in baseball, and it's been a revelation. It's been great to see.
Chuck Garfine, it was great to talk baseball with you again. We should do this more often.
I'd love to do it. I want to give some White Sox fans hope, and I know we had a rebuild happen, and we were focusing so much on the minor leagues and not everyone panned out. But to give you a little bit of a hope for the future, the White Sox actually have – I'm just going to say this. They've had a very, very good couple of days in the minor leagues with all the guys that you want to be playing well. Colson Montgomery, homer the last 2 days. Edgar Caro has 3 home runs the last 2 days. Noah Schultz was struggling, and then he struck out 6 guys in a row. Drew Thorpe, who they got in the Steves trade, looks amazing. So there's some good stuff happening in the minor leagues. I'm not saying up and down. Every team is incredible, but a good future core might be developed right now. But what's going on in the major league team, if you are a White Sox fan and you're frustrated, you have every right to be, because it's unacceptable. They're 2-12. And it's been a tough watch. I really hope they turn things around, because I know the guys in that clubhouse want to be better. They need to be better. But it's been a rough watch, and hopefully it turns around today.
I hate to say that I enjoy it, but Chuck, sometimes when I'm able to catch you after a bad day, the sorrow, the exasperation in your voice is, man, I feel it, and I have to tell you, there's something comforting about it. I'm sorry you have to be the one now to, you know, to be the avatar for pain, but I am glad it's you, and I enjoy it, and I'm just, you'll be okay, pal.
Oh, I will be okay. Last couple of years, they called me Salty Chuck. There's a new nickname for me now. It's Grumpy Chuck. I'm Grumpy.
Oh, Grumpy Chuck. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So I've turned into Grumpy Chuck. But come on, White Sox. I want to be happy again. Let's turn this around. So, Chris, I appreciate it. And Ozzy and I will be back on the air today.
Tell Ozzy I said hello, my guy.
I will, for sure.
See you, Chuck.
Great talking to you, Chris. Miss you.
Miss you too, buddy. That's Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago. You can hear him on the White Sox Talk pod. You'll see him with our guy, Ozzy Guillen, on White Sox coverage on NBC Sports Chicago. Our next guest, Mike Farron, is with MLB Network Radio. We'll talk some baseball around the country kind of news. And I'm going to get his thoughts on Shohei Ohtani as well and that entire situation. Mike Farron joins us when we come back. Chris Ranji filling in on Hit and Run on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.